This morning we have three scripture passages that you'll have in your bulletins. And these passages have to do with the core identity of you and me. And they have to do with the core identity and nature of who Jesus was. And they have to do with the core identity of who God is. And if that weren't enough, these passages also include a huge therefore as a part of them. And that therefore is, therefore, this is how we should live, being this is who we are. And so let's listen. Where first, Jesus says about you and me. He says very boldly, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." And speaking about himself, next he says, "I am the light of the world." And then next we hear, "God is light. You are the light of the world." Jesus says this not as a hope, as in, wouldn't it be great if you were the light of the world? He doesn't say it as a compliment, as if, you know, hey, you're looking good today. You're the light of the world. He doesn't say it as a positive affirmation, as in, what should be like a person of light? He says this as the truth. This is who you are. This is your nature. This is your substance. You are the light of the world. You are light. He is light. God is light. Therefore, shine. Now, just a little parenthetically and oddly, thousands of years later, this is something that physics actually now verifies, that materially we are actually literally, we are made of light. We are photons, not just an idea. We are those smallest energy packets. We are made up of that as our basic ingredients. According to science, it says, quote, "The human body emits and communicates with and is made of light." Check it out. Loads and loads of articles about this. We are light. Now, how did Jesus know that 2,000 years before physicists did? I have no idea. Lucky guess? And because you are the light of the world, he says, live accordingly. Because you are light. Why would we diminish that in any way? Let your light shine. Shine. So that's our scripture. And may God bless our embodiment and living of this word of abundant life. Amen. Now, one of the most wonderful things in the world to me is something that you all have this morning, which is a brand new Ticonderoga number 2 pencil, the finest pencil in the world. Beauty, form, balance, function. It embodies the potential of what it can do, and it's just waiting to burst out of that pencil. And it's all this stuff in one. So this morning, you have a pencil, and you have a pencil, and you have a pencil. Each one of you has a pencil, just like Oprah. Why do we have a pencil this morning? Last week, I heard a very simple analogy that after hearing it, it stuck with me and it kept coming back. So I want to share it with you, and it has to do with the four ways that we are like a pencil. And it goes like this. Remember these four things, it said, and you'll be the best person you can be. First of all, look at your pencil. And you take a look at the point. And as we know, in order for the pencil to become a useful pencil, from time to time, it has to go through a sharpening process, right? And each time it does, just imagine if this pencil could feel. How painful, probably, and how scary that sharpening process would be. Changing from what it was before into something new, into something different. But that's what it takes for it to fulfill its purpose to be a useful pencil. Our life is very much the same. Painful experiences, having to change, having to become different and transformed, shaving off the old, and challenges, all these things that come to all of us. This is the sharpening process. But it's through these opportunities that we build character, that we learn, that we grow. And these are the things that mean that we're still alive. Because when these things stop, when the sharpening process stops, we stop. So all these things happen so that we can be sharper. All these things happen so that we can shine and be what we're supposed to be. But you know, some people never get past the sharpening process. Some people stick on how traumatic that was the last time that happened. How sad that that had to happen. And we gather our friends around us and people say, you know, I hope that you never have to get sharpened again. But for a pencil to be what a pencil does, it goes through the process. For us to be who we are, we go through this process time and again. Second, we again look at these pencils and we see once again, something that we all know, and that is that there's the sharp point on the one end of the pencil, and what's on the other end of the pencil? We have an eraser. Well, we have a point on one end that enables us to write and to draw and to express ideas and to create and to plan and to envision. We have an eraser at the other end. And it's great that the eraser is built right into the pencil, isn't it? Because even though we're going to make a lot of mistakes along the way, we can also correct many of those mistakes that we make. And it's just part of the deal. And that's why the eraser is built right into the pencil in the first place. Because everybody knows if you're trying, if you're doing things, mistakes are going to get made. Not only that, let's say if by chance you were to ever use a whole pencil. And you go, you know what? This is so great. I used the whole pencil. I never had to use the eraser once. You know what that says to me? I think it says that you didn't take enough chances. Maybe you could have been more creative. Tried, well, what happens if I go over here? Tried some different lines. Maybe you've been too safe. Einstein didn't figure everything out in one sitting. He had to use an eraser a lot. Like an eraser, if we learn from our mistakes, they're not mistakes. They're lessons. Now, for you and me, God gives us a built-in eraser, doesn't he? With our mind, to be able to figure out how to do things better next time. And, of course, part of that eraser is called forgiveness. turning mistakes into lessons so that we can never be chained to our past. So use your eraser and keep writing and rewriting your story so that you are never stuck with the same old story. Keep letting your light shine. And that leads us to the third way that we are like a pencil, which is that just like this pencil, every time you get used, so to speak, you leave your mark, one way or the other. And because you're always in the process of rewriting your story, we are always developing, and we can edit our stories, and we should be editing our stories. The question is, what do you want your story to be? You are the light of the world. Will you let your light shine? How brightly? How will you let your light shine? Don't cover it up, Jesus says. And that brings us to the fourth point, which is to always remember, if you take a look at your pencil, see that some of you are using your pencil, which is very smart. The most valuable part is where? Most valuable part is on the inside, isn't it? Just like the pencil, even though it has potential within it to do great things, the pencil itself doesn't do anything on its own. But it only works when it's powered with a greater mind. Only then, with a greater mind, does it get picked up in the first place. And then does it, the mind move through your arms and through your hands and through your fingers. Only then, through the power of the greater mind, can it write powerful or beautiful or soft or inspiring words that can change humanity forever. Think about the Declaration of Independence, or in Einstein's hands, or in your hands. It can help work out the mysteries of the world. Or in the hands of an artist, it can create a beautiful drawing, or plans for a new building. Or in your hands, it can help create plans for a new life. What am I going to do first, second, third? Truth be told, even though the Ticonderoga number 2 is a piece of beauty, it could just as easily be a chewed up old stub. It has that beautiful yellow color. It could be just as plain as can be. So don't be fooled by what's on the outside. If it's beautiful, or if it's new, or if it's chewed up, or if it's a worn out old stub, don't be fooled by your outside. Tall, short, fat, thin, old, young, able, less able than you used to be. Because it's not the pencil. It's what you write and create with it. You are the light of the world. What do you write with your life? Is your story written in the voice of, I can, I'll try, I will, or I couldn't? Or I wanted, but then I didn't? Or he faced obstacle after obstacle, and then he gave up. You go, no, wait. Let me use the eraser on that one. Let me rewrite that. He faced obstacle after obstacle, and then, with perseverance and faith, he overcame. I like that much better. That's going to be my story. You are the light of the world. May you shine. We are meant to shine. I'm going to close with a little poem that I've shared before. I'm going to share it again. Perry Spate, who we honored at the celebration of his life just 8 days ago here in this church, he heard it a number of years ago, and he loved it. And I know that he loved it because he would tell me that many, many times. He said, it makes me think about how I want to live. It makes me think about what am I doing with my time. And a lot of people know who either attended his service, or we had even planned more than a year before that to honor he and Patty, which we did at our annual meeting just the week before that. We know that what he accomplished in his life made many people who were very accomplished, made their heads spin. Pianist, venture capitalist, consultant, grad from Stanford, master's degree in aeronautics and astronautics from Stanford, rocket scientist, pretty good, MBA from Stanford, composer, singer, incredible volunteer here at this church and in many places. Here he chaired two capital campaigns, chaired the board of trustees several times, chaired the music committee, introduced and chaired our 1843 Society, choir member, glass artist, photographer, pilot, winning competitive ballroom dancer, expert skier, wine expert and lecturer at Harvard 29 times, loving husband, father. I think it's fair to say that his light shined, don't you? And I think that he wrote his story with a lot of exclamation points, maybe some bold, some underline, something that I do sometimes with a great point is I kind of make it look like it's a firework bursting by putting lines around it. Anyway, this poem resonated with him, so let me share it with you. It's a poem written by Linda Ellis, and it's called The Dash. It goes like this. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of his friend. He referred to the dates on his tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of his birth, and he spoke of the second with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash in between those years. For that dash represents all the time that he spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved him know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left. You could be at dash mid-range. If we could slow down enough to consider what is true and what is real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, will you be pleased with the things that are said about how you spent your dash? When the Buddha was asked, what's the biggest mistake we make in life? He replied, The biggest mistake is you think you have time. Saw this last week. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's gone, you can never get it back. Time is more valuable than money. Because you can get more money, but you can never get more time. As William Shakespeare said, time is very slow for those who want, very fast for those who are scared, very long for those who are sad, very short for those who celebrate. But for those who love, time is eternal. You are the light of the world. That is who you are, and that is your gift. May your light shine. Amen.